Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is the Bible. This is the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here on January 23, 2021. For our program. We will get started in just a minute. I want to call your attention to three locations where you can find our material. The first one is spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital T, capital M. The second one is our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net. Did I say capital S, capital T? I already said that. Okay, that was our original one. Our primary one is spiritoftruthministry.net, and our Facebook page is Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. And so you can go there, you can go to all these places, and you can find some good reading and good material for study. And Rick is on Gab, okay? What's your... It's just under Rick Sterling?
At RS Wayfinder.
At RS Wayfinder. Okay, that's nice. Good. I'm going to...
Google Podcast.
Oh, and we are on Google Podcast. That's right. So you can find us all sorts of places, and that's kind of nice. We encourage you to join us today because we are going to be continuing our presentation of... The life road and death road prophecies and how that all plays out in our lives today. And so what we want to do is we want you to get your textbook out, your Bible. Many of us are going to be going to the Jerusalem Bible because that's the one that Rick uses mostly. But any good Bible will do. And so let's have prayer, and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us a great day in study and in learning the truth. Thank you for going before us and smoothing the way in our minds and in our intellects to be able to process this material and come to the conclusions that you would have us come to. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Larry. Go ahead.
Good morning.
And Michael, me boy. Okay. And Rick.
Good morning. Welcome.
There you
everyone.
Are.
I hope that you find our study today interesting, thought-provoking, and hopefully satisfying. I just want to put in a word for those of you who are on social media that I'm sure you're quite aware of the activity of certain corporate factions in this country, the United States, that have certain ideas of information that can be made public and other that can't. And the reason that I'm on Gab is that it has the has a Twitter-like function, but also Facebook, and they also have video. And once I think we get up and running, we'll be putting some videos on Gab video. The reason I am putting a word in here for Gab is that unlike all other social media sites, Gab owns their own servers and all their own equipment. So there is no possibility of being deplatformed or taken off the internet. And Gab is, the CEO of Gab is a God-fearing person. Very nice. Andrew Torba. We'll get started. In Isaiah, yesterday we started in Ecclesiasticus, which you will only find in the Jerusalem Bible, which is a product of the Second Vatican Council. Yes, it is the heir apparent of the Douay version of the Bible. And I'm not here promoting Catholicism at all, but they actually did a very nice job at using the oldest and most reliable manuscript and translated it. Yes. Sheol made his throat and gapes with measureless jaw to swallow up her thronging with
what's going on?
I don't know.
There, you did it. Sorry about that. Yes. Sheol opens wide his throat,
gapes with measureless jaw to swallow up her thronging nobility as they are shouting for joy. Do you think we could make a current application of that statement? To swallow up her thronging nobility as they are shouting for joy, having won a fraudulent election. Although,
there was no joy.
I didn't watch the inauguration of the fraud, but I have seen some videos pointing out certain things, and they're exactly right. It looked more like a memorial service for a dearly departed than it did an inauguration. The mortal, humbled man brought low, proud eyes will be cast down. Yahweh Sabaoth will increase his glory by his sentence. The holy God will display his holiness by his integrity. Lambs will graze as at pasture. Fatlings and kids browse in the ruins. That's Life Road after Death Road. Woe to those who draw down punishment on themselves with an ox's halter, and sin as with a chariot's traces. And to those who say, quick, let him hurry his work, so that we can see it. these plans of the Holy One of Israel, let them happen and come true so that we can know what they are. Does that sound kind of like today? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who think themselves wise and believe themselves cunning. Woe to the heroes of drinking bouts, to champions at preparing strong drinks. Woe to those who for a bribe acquit the guilty and cheat the good man of his due. For this, as stubble is prey for the flames, and as straw vanishes in the fire, so their root will rot, their blossom be carried off like
testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello? Testing 1, 2, 3. Oh, okay.
Okay, there you go. It's causing more problems.
Okay. Wow. Fortunately, this only happens on a rare occasion.
I mean, this thing was plugged in, but apparently, I mean, it's showing charge.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So, we're good.
Welcome back. Sorry for the technical.
Oh, good. Oh, this has come up again.
The technical problem. And I'm going to move on to Jeremiah.
Okay, let's. Can you. Testing 1, 2, 3. What, can you dial in again?
Going to move on to Jeremiah.
Yeah.
While we try to get back on.
Are you up?
Not quite.
Oh, there we go.
Testing.
Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Testing.
Okay.
All right. Good. Turn to Jeremiah, chapter 1.
Close to $3 million worth of land.
Okay, that should be up. We should be up.
You're up.
Okay.
Are we up?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
Because, well, we could be under attack, and that's probably what it is. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting with verse 9. Then Yahweh put out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "There, I am putting my words into your mouth. Look, today I am setting you over nations and over kingdoms to tear up, to knock down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant." What do you hear in those words? Do you hear Death Road and Life Road?
Go ahead.
Jeremiah 18, the Father.
Well, I'm on Jeremiah chapter 1. But
I'm referring to that as a similar
concept. That and Jeremiah 3 and 4. In fact, that's just, another couple chapters over. Jeremiah 3 and 4, where it says, at that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will come to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel. But what God was giving Jeremiah was death and destruction, and then peace and prosperity. And Jeremiah was so confused because he said, oh, sovereign Lord, how thoroughly you have deceived this people by telling them they will have peace when the sword is at their throat. What God was giving to Jeremiah was the prophecies concerning the new covenant that he would make with Israel when they came back from captivity. And the tearing up and knocking down and destroying and overthrowing was what was going to happen to Israel, to Judah, primarily the southern kingdom. And they would be taken to captivity in Babylon. And after 70 years of captivity, as Jeremiah states in a couple of places in his book of the prophecies that he received from God, and Daniel read, and Daniel knew of the prophecies of restoration, and he prayed for the people of Judah that they wouldn't make the same mistakes that their fathers had made, which is what caused the captivity in the first place. Jeremiah wrote, as he heard from God, about a new covenant. It wasn't like the previous covenant written on tables of stone, put in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, and kept in the most holy place of the temple. What was new about this covenant is that instead of being written on tables of stone, it was to be written on the intellect, the heart, the mind of the people. But in order for God to write it in their mind, they had to, that the way he would do that is that they would perform the words of the covenant. They would obey it and keep it. That's why in Jeremiah chapter 3, he says, at that time, no one will say, where is the Ark of the Covenant? No one will miss it. Another one will not be made. It will not be needed. Why? Because the children of Israel were given an ultimatum. Perform the requirements of the covenant within the amount of time given. And if you don't, you will lose your right to be the kingdom of God as a people. And those of you who have listened to us, to me, over the years, should know quite well by now that the text in Matthew chapter 21 is very important, because the king of the kingdom of God tells the chief priests and the scribes of Israel that because of their non-performance, because of their dereliction of duty over generations of scribes and chief priests, they had run out of time. And that the promised kingdom given to the children of Israel was taken away from them due to non-performance. They wanted to run the kingdom their own way, so the king said, fine, you have the kingdom. It's all yours. What I'm going to do is I am going to invite anyone who is willing to meet the requirements for entering the kingdom to have the right to enter it. It doesn't matter their heritage, their birth, where they live, what they were, what they are. It matters what they become. If they become righteous, if they learn holiness, if they learn the demands of righteousness and fulfill them, all of them, they will enter the kingdom of God. Now, as I understand it, God will do to the world what the actions of the people of the world dictate. If the people are by their nature, and what I mean by their nature is their makeup, how they think and process information, what they think of others, how they respond to others. Do they care for their fellow man? Do they make sure that their neighbor is taken care of if they're in need? Do they recognize the God of Israel and seek to do the will of God? What I found is that those who recognize the God of Israel have never been told the truth about the God of Israel. They have an idea, and they put into practice the idea, but like the woman at the well, they worship a God they do not know. They know of, but they don't know as they would know themselves.
May I ask a question about that? I have any number of friends who are very much like what you just described. They want their fellow, their neighbors that are in dire need to get help. And what they tell me is that it is actually the government's purview to take care of these people and not themselves personally. That's what the government is for. Is that what God is talking about here when he is talking about helping your neighbor and treating your neighbor as yourself?
What, giving money to the government?
Just having the government take care of them. And that's what I'm saying. Yes, and you don't have to because the government is doing it.
No, absolutely not.
But you see, there are a lot of good people out there who actually believe that is the true. That's what God wanted.
There are more good people that don't leave it up to the government.
Right.
Because they know the government does a terrible job at helping anybody.
I agree.
At least the governments that we are used to having. But the government that we will be getting, and I'm not talking about Joe Biden, I'm talking about Donald Trump and the restored republic, will be a government of the people, for the people. Yesterday I read in Ecclesiasticus, a book that does not appear in the quote-unquote Christian Bible, so it is apocryphal in nature. Read about Elijah. Then the prophet Elijah arose like a fire. It's in chapter 48, if you have the Jerusalem Bible. His word flaring like a torch. And then to allay God's wrath before the fury breaks, to turn the hearts of fathers toward their children, and to restore the tribes of Jacob. Happy are they, happy shall they be who see you, and those who have fallen asleep in love, for we too will have life. That's talking about the resurrection. Back to Jeremiah chapter 1, carrying on at verse 11. The word of Yahweh was addressed to me, asking, Jeremiah, what do you see? I see a branch of a watchful tree. Keyword, watchful. Keep that in mind. Then Yahweh said, well seen. I too watch over my word to see it fulfilled. Now, the watchful tree says down here in the notes, the almond tree, the earliest to flower.
First fruits.
Yeah, well, I don't even have to ask it. Larry is on it. First fruits. Now, it also calls to mind what the Son of God said to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the scribes, talking about signs of the end. What did he say? Look at the fig tree. When its shoots become tender and its leaves start coming out, you know that summer is near.
Yeah, I got two of those in my yard and I dread them.
You can read the times of the season from the sun and the weather and the plants, but you're totally unaware of the signs that pointed to the Messiah, and you're ignoring them. Why? Because the Messiah was not whom they expected and was certainly not who they wanted.
By the way, that text is Matthew 24:32.
A second time the word of Yahweh was spoken to me, asking, "What do you see?" "I see a cooking pot on the boil." I answered, "With its contents tilting from the north." Then Yahweh said, "The north is where disaster is boiling over for all who live in the land. Since I am now going to summon all the kingdoms of the north," it is Yahweh who speaks. So what does all this have to do with today? That was all warning Israel about sudden destruction. Israel and Judah. When we read Revelation, what Revelation describes is terrible destruction. And bloodshed and devastation of the planet.
Pain and suffering beyond imagining.
And why? Well, according to what the Son of God told his disciples, that the people will be so into themselves that the love of most will grow cold. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man come. The reason that I read from Jeremiah, to start with, and from Ecclesiasticus about Elijah, is recognizing the signs that you see foretelling what is about to happen. And the word of God as a fire that cleanses the soul, burns up all lies. It is fire that is the word of truth. In Revelation chapter 1:1-3, we read this. This is the revelation given by God to Jesus Christ, so that he could tell his servants about the things which are now to take place very soon. He sent his angel to make it known to his servant John. And John has written down everything he saw and swears it is the word of God guaranteed by Jesus Christ. Happy the man who reads this prophecy, and happy those who listen to him, if they treasure all that it says, because the time is close.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know if there's anything to be made out of it, but I am going to just suggest it here. How happy are you when you read Revelation 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and Revelation 8 and 9? How happy are you in hoping for it to hurry up and start?
I can't say I've ever been happy about it. I have been hoping that it would start prior to the understanding about what the life road is, because I wanted to go home. But it turns out we can go home a different way.
Well, Dennis, turn the clock back 30 years.
Right, 27 years.
Were you hoping that you would live to see the day that Revelation 13 and 8 and 9 and 14 and 15 would all play out?
Given what was going on at the time, I didn't expect I would be alive at the time. But
if you were.
But.
I mean.
I was hoping to be alive, but I wasn't hoping for that to occur. I don't think anybody in their right mind would be. And I know that, for instance, my mother-in-law, Becky's mom, said out loud that she did not want to live through the hell that would be going on during that time. Now, Fred, on the other hand, he was hoping that he'd be able to hang in there long enough to see all of that take place. He was charged up about it.
Well, his expectation was based upon false narrative.
Yeah. Certainly it was.
And I know a lot of people in the Advent Church that, well, their view of the future was a certain type of rapture where they would see the end coming, hop into their ARV, their Adventist rapture vehicle, head for the most remotest part of the world that they could find, and wade out.
Only to find it overcrowded.
Only to find it overcrowded.
Happy the man who reads this prophecy, and happy those who listen to him. I find that wording interesting.
Matthew, it is intriguing.
Matthew 17.
I really appreciate Larry, who has been with us from the beginning, pretty much.
Whether he knew it or not.
And we're lucky to have him. Happy the man. Now, I've had people tell me, "Oh, that's just talking about, you know, happy is the person who reads this prophecy." I said, "Well, what about it where it says those who listen to him?" Well, you know, they read it and then they tell others about it. But that's not the man plural. That's the man like Jeremiah or like Isaiah or like the faithful and wise enough bond servant who is feeding his fellow bond servants the food that they needed to receive at the proper time. Why? What's the proper time? The time is close. And why is he happy? And why are the fellow servants happy? Because they recognize before any of the bad stuff happens that the bad stuff isn't going to happen. That it's going to be a time of peace and prosperity. But who would have known? God gave Jeremiah a vision of the future that was coming destruction because the people and their spiritual leaders had turned their back on him at the end of time. When God had said it would be as in the days of Noah. And he said, the love of most would go cold because everybody would be in it for themselves. Was a prophecy that was conditioned on the condition of the heart of the people. And look around. The heart of the majority of the people of the world is not cold love. It is caring. It is very easily seen that the people of the world are keeping the second great commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I have seen a plethora of evidence to confirm this. I see a concerted effort to destroy evil. I see Satan working desperately to get the world into his kingdom by force, and it isn't going to happen. God does not force people into his kingdom, and he does not allow the devil to force people into his. They have to willingly enter. And the majority of the people of the world have made up their mind that they are not going to worship and serve the devil and his demonic horde. Happy the man who sees that, and happy those who see it with him. Why? Because the time is close. Yesterday, I brought up the observation that, well, if everything is going not, if everything is going along the what you call the life road type of character for the world, maybe it's not the time of the end yet. And I have said that, you know, I'm not just hoping that it's the time of the end and it's going to be peace and prosperity. I said, no, you look, you can see the one world order waiting for the United States to be defeated by the demonic, satanic forces
They're waiting for the United States to fail.
If you look at Build Back Better, do you recognize that phrase? That political platform, which is not a, has nothing political about it. It was the platform for Joe Biden and the Democrats. But if you look a little deeper, you see that it's also the platform for the New World Order. Look it up. They all have that, those three B words, Build Back Better. So what they're saying is there's a great reset for the whole world. They are resetting everything. All religions, all currency, all forms of government, all jobs. Everything is being reset of the whole world. And you know what better is? Communism, socialism. Under the authority of the type of fascism. Where the corporations and the banks, the money people of the world, do their will against the populace. And the first thing they need to do is to get rid of as many people as they possibly can through disease and war and plague and famine. Until they have reduced the population by 90%.
Apropos of that, if you decide that you want to give money to Antifa and you type in Antifa, do you know where
it brings up the White House?
It brings up the White House. The White House of Joe Biden.
So, when God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see a watchful tree. What he means is that he sees a tree that you watch, and when it blossoms, you know that spring has arrived. What do I see in the world? I see the New World Order. It is there, and the only thing that is keeping it from taking over the world is the United States, what I would call the patriots, the quote-unquote white hats in the military and in the leadership, Donald Trump and the generals that are true to the Constitution of the Republic. And what I want you to understand is that according to God, they have already won because
they are
fighting on the side of good and righteous and common law. They have restored the republic, and as soon as they have taken care of the satanic cabal, this country will have Nisara, and the world will have Gisara. and the world will have a time of peace and prosperity. More info to follow.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to make use of our information facilities, especially spiritoftruthministry.net and Facebook page, and our now it's Gab. And I will post that on our Facebook page so you can get there. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld saying so long for now. We'll see you all next week at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Friday. Have a great day.